The following is a presentation of the Technology User Group at the Maryland State Library for the Blind and Print Disabled. For more information about the Technology User Group, including upcoming sessions or archived recordings from previous sessions, please visit our website, lbpd.maryland.gov. That's L, B as in Bravo, P as in Paul, D as in Delta, .maryland.gov. Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Technology User Group for April. My name is Jerry Freitz. I will be your host for today, but we're privileged to have Stephen Scott and Sean Priest with us this morning. I want to let you know that today's presentation, like all other TUG presentations, is being recorded. The finished product will be posted on the LBPD website as well as podcasted through the MSLA brand. Understand that if you speak during this presentation, that your voice may live on for at least about 3 years. No AI is being used during this recording. Yes, we have to say that. And I will give you the opportunity to ask questions and comments. And these comments may or may not be edited in the finished product. The Zoom rules apply as always to raise your hand. It's Alt Y or Star 9 to unmute, Alt A or Star 6. And the upcoming TUGs in May 9th, we are going to talk about advanced features of the Victor Reader Stream 3. And June 13th, the latest iOS games. But you guys didn't come out to hear me. You came out to hear Steven and Sean. So the floor is yours, guys. Let me just add, I know you guys are going to be asking for questions. My first question to you is, how did you guys meet and how long have you known each other?
Okay, well, that's the first 60 minutes gone. how did we meet Sean Priest? Should I tell the story of me finding you?
Yes, please. Yes, finding me in the gutter, Stephen's. Yes, please. Please do. And let me just say this, by the way. It's a privilege to be here, Jerry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and same for me. It's a privilege for us. Trust us. The privilege is all ours. And we really do thank you guys for allowing us to take up an hour of your time, as we tend to do every day anyway, I'm sure. And I should also say before we start, Double Tap, if you don't know, because I hate assuming that everyone knows the show, because I'm sure some of you will not. Double Tap is a daily tech show. It really is a tech show, and it really is daily, well. 7 days a week. Yeah, okay, the first part is questionable. We do say it's a tech show, honest, because we drift into all kinds of topics. We talk about our experiences, our lives, as well as the technology we use. But yeah, we are daily. We do 7 days a week now, 5 days a week on the main show, which is broadcast on AMI Audio, Accessible Media Inc. up in Canada. And we are grateful and forever grateful to them for giving us the opportunity to do this every day. Our weekend shows are kind of our playground for us to do whatever we like. And we have interesting conversations at the weekend, usually focused conversations on a Saturday. This weekend, for example, we're speaking to a blind veteran from the UK about his experience in using tech and talking about his experience just generally in life, and since especially losing his vision. And then on the weekend, on Sunday, we have a show called Mainstream, which kind of takes the blind view on some of the big mainstream tech stories of the week. So, you know, really there's something for everyone, you know, and we realize that not everyone can listen every day. We totally get that. And we know people skip over episodes to get to ones they really want to hear or chats they really want. And I get that. But, you know, we just try and put out as much content as we can in the time we have. We have an hour a day and we are set to 56 minutes a day. So if you ever think, why is it always 56 minutes long and it's dead, 56 minutes dead? That's because of broadcast rules. We have to be 56. And that's the time we have. So it's interesting. We started this show, Sean, when we were back. It was 2017, August 2017.
Oh, you remember the date. Began. That's beautiful, Stephen Scott. Almost
Isn't it
our
gorgeous?
Anniversary.
That's right. Well, almost this. It's almost our 10th year. And, you know, it was an incredible experience being able to do this. It all came out of a bizarre conversation one day, and Double Tap was born. And, you know, we were doing it weekly then. And to be honest, we struggled, didn't we? We were struggling to fill the show on a weekly basis.
Well, yeah. And, you know, we were really taking, I was taking a day to edit, or a day and a half sometimes to edit it and get everything in place. And yeah, but now looking back, I think, how on earth did we not fill a show once a week, you know, weekly? And now we're doing it every day. But I mean, the amount of assistive technology out there and the amount that tech in general has exploded, you know, and grown. I think we've always got enough content anyway.
I think as well what's happened is that the cadence of news has just increased massively, AI being a huge part of that. AI really just ramped everything up, and suddenly we're seeing, you know, every day now there are stories. And I was at an event recently where someone said, you know, if you think you know about AI today, if you think you know it all about AI, you're out of date. The information you have is out of date because it will have changed in the last hour, probably. And that's how quick things are moving. And so, you know, we at Double Tap, our aim is to try and distill that to people, but also try and keep a sense of reality, because a lot of the tools that the mainstream people get excited about aren't tools we can use necessarily, or we can use particularly well as yet, because they're inaccessible to us, or they're not quite ready for prime time for us yet, or they're just too damn complicated. You know, everyone talks these days in the coding world about vibe coding, which basically means you can use a text prompt to say, make me an app about this or that. And the idea is that it'll just create it for you. You can create your own solutions. You might have even been using a vibe coded solution recently. If you've used an app called Blind RSS, that was entirely vibe coded by a blind person, just someone who wasn't a coder and isn't a coder, but just wanted to start building his own solution to a problem, which was being able to accessibly read his RSS feeds. And so he created Blind RSS. And then, you know, you have NVDA, the free screen reader, of course, that has many add-ons in the add-on store. A number of those now are being vibe coded. And it's incredible to see this huge growth in technology. But of course, that feeds into what we do, which is to deliver content to people, to tell you about what is out there. And yeah, Sean, it has just increased massively.
Yeah, you know what? We look through and read all the articles and, you know, go through the news on the show. Absolutely. But I think sharing our experiences, like you mentioned there, you know, you hear the story of someone creating their own app who's not a coder, you know, just simply telling AI, I want an app to do this. And all of a sudden there's an app there that we're going, yeah, this works really well. But when you talk about my experience and your experience and someone else's experience of it, I still have no idea where to start, right? Mm-hmm. And you always think it's because I'm not clever enough or I don't know. But once you share our experiences and say, you know what, I tried this app and everyone's raving about it, but I really struggled, I think that's really important as well, because otherwise you feel like, you know, I still get, what's it called, imposter syndrome. You know, you think, mm-hmm. why is everyone else getting this and I'm not? And that's, I don't like that. I think that's very, you know, insulating and insular. So I think just sharing our experiences and saying, you know what, I struggled with that as well. It doesn't matter. We're all playing with this tech and finding what works for us. I think that's really important.
Absolutely. And I think for me, it's always the case of just being real about it, right? Being honest and saying, look, this is challenging. And, you know, I talk about the reality sometimes of just going on the web. Some of the challenges that I have when I'm on the web itself, just trying to navigate around and do the basic things. And so it's really important for us to, I think, share that. Because for us, the show is from our perspective. We're not coming on here saying this is the answer to everything, or this will solve all your problems, or this will be the answer to everything in your life. I don't want to do that. I just want to present you with opportunity to understand what is out there, what the capabilities are that have been tested either by us or by other blind people, and share those stories. I should say at this point, anyone who's not on mute, if you can just mute for us just while we talk through here, and then we will definitely get your questions on. I think someone just joined who may still be on, who's not on mute here. But it is really, really important for us to be able to tell the story of our journey. Now, going back to Jerry's question, nothing like Double Tap to go around the houses to get to the answer.
20 minutes of waffle and then we'll actually answer a question. Yes. How did we meet, Stephen?
We met because I was doing RNIB Tech Talk back in the day. And what happened was I was doing the show and it wasn't... Someone's still on. Someone's still. I don't know who it is. But someone's still.
You asked for this, Stephen.
I did ask for this. I know. I did ask for it.
Alt A or star 6, I believe, to mute. If you're unmuted, that'd be great.
That's correct.
Please.
Alt A or star 6, please.
Yeah. But yeah, so we met because I was doing the show and it was going okay. And bear in mind, back in the day of R&B Tech Talk, it was very much me on my own. I was just doing this show on my own. And then all of a sudden I thought, you know, what we need to do here is maybe I need to think about a co-host, or I need to certainly find some cool guests to come on the show with me. And I found or happened upon this website, which had a load of audio demos.
Yeah, Debbie,
and Sean here was the voice and the voice of a demo all about Windows 10. And he was funny. He made a pretty boring topic about installing Windows 10 really funny, and I was laughing out loud, and I thought, I've got to meet this guy, I've got to get him on. So I contacted him and we had a chat, and before we actually did an interview we talked about our own lives, and I was talking about how I was not using a cane at that point. Well, I was, but not really, because my vision was getting worse and I was kind of a bit shy about using the cane.
Secret Sean, cane user.
The secret cane. And then you talked about the fact that you were in exactly the same position, and frankly, we just clicked on that. That was like, it just clicked.
Yeah.
And we've been best friends ever since, have we?
Yeah, sad but true. It's as simple as that. Yeah, absolutely.
It was as simple as that, Jerry.
Yeah, you guys sound like best friends. I mean, it really comes across that way.
Yeah, we really are. I mean, you know, and honestly, you know, I give this guy a lot of crap over the days and years.
Yes.
Sometimes he deserves it. No. But you know, honestly, you know, I love this guy and I think he's fantastic, and you know, you can't do a show like this and be as real as you can and real as you want to be with someone you don't feel comfortable with. I did a radio show once with someone years ago, and bear in mind this was more of a radio show with a commercial radio station that, you know, put people together as co-hosts. We didn't have any say in it, and we just didn't get on. We couldn't get on at all. And the show was awful because we just did not get on with each other. We kind of faked it the whole way through, and it wasn't fun. You can't fake the kind of thing that Sean and I are doing, and especially when you're talking about the topics we're discussing. So, you know, for us, this friendship is really important to the show, but of course it's even more personal and important to me.
Yeah. Ditto.
I think that's the nicest thing I've ever said to you in my life. Is
Sorry,
this being recorded?
I'm just recording this. Yes, I'm just saving a clip.
I'll make sure you get a copy, Sean.
Thank you.
Yeah, the thing is, you will use AI to transcribe it as well, so it will be in writing. Oh, goodness. Now, listen, I know one thing that you mentioned, Jerry, that you'd like me to talk about, or like Sean and I to talk about, is podcasting itself and the process.
Exactly. Behind the scenes with Double Tap.
Behind the scenes. Okay, so... It depends which day you ask me, because my setup changes on an almost weekly basis.
Yes.
Windows, well, you keep buying Mac. Things. That's why. Yeah.
That's the problem. Sean, talk about your experience. Because I know that some of the stuff we use, I'm going to level with you guys, a lot of the stuff we use isn't necessarily fully accessible. And that's because we do this with certain intents. There are certain things we need to do and we can't find accessible alternative tools. So we use things like Be My Eyes or Aira to enable us to use the tools we have. So one tool in particular, which is kind of the heart of my operation, is a tool called the Rodecaster Pro. Sean and I both have one of these. And what it allows us to do is obviously do the show, communicate, but it involves a lot of routing audio to different places. We also, as some of you may know, we do the show on YouTube as well. So as well as being podcast and audio, it's broadcast or whatever you'd call it, vodcast.
Streamed.
In video, streamed, yeah. And, you know, that requires a different workflow as well, which we've tried to build a way that we can do the whole thing as one. And that's been quite challenging. And the video component has been incredibly challenging. But because we're part of a broadcaster, we have a lot of support from the broadcast team who help us to set up cameras and make sure everything looks nice and get lighting right and all those things. So on that side, I don't tend to talk as much about that because it's a little bit more out of our hands. And to be honest, when it comes to video podcasting, we can talk about that, but it's a bit of a challenging area. But there are a lot of tools we can use that we can talk about that might be able to help. So, yeah, Rodecaster is our kind of audio hub, and that is essentially a mixing console, which I can do things like talk back to Sean. So if you and I, Sean, are doing an interview, I can talk to you off air, essentially, and say, hey, listen, you know, I've got an Amazon delivery at the door. You need to ask the next question. That happens a lot, by the way.
It does happen a lot, yes.
And so I can just hit a button and he can talk to him and he can talk back to me and say, yeah, that's fine. And that's not going out on air, essentially. So these are the reasons why I need that particular tool. However, I will say that I have started using a fantastic tool which could become part of my daily workflow, and that is a Zoom recorder, a Zoom Essential recorder, the H number E range. And I say number because there are a number of different options. You can have the H1E, the 2E, the 4E, the 6E, and basically the number represents the number of inputs of microphones you can have. You might have heard some other blind podcasters talking about the Zoom series because they are really accessible. They have a voice menu built in, a voice guidance for the menu built in. So I can set them up, I can check levels, I can make sure I'm recording, all of that. I bought an H4E, so it's got four inputs essentially, two microphones built in, and then two microphones at the bottom that I can plug my microphones into, which I prefer to do. I don't really like using the Zoom microphones because for various reasons, but I prefer a microphone plugged in the bottom. I've got more control over it. And what I do is I just have my Zoom H4E on a lanyard, because blind people love a lanyard. I have that around my neck and along with my Perkins Brailer and anything else I can take with me that day. That's it. I was at an event recently. I started using that for the first time. I really love it because I actually finally know when I'm recording, which has been really challenging on a lot of the devices that we have today. Of course, Sean, the simplest way to do all this is the smartphone you already have in your hand, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's an iPhone, Android phone, whatever. They've all got great microphones in them anyway, but obviously they have USB connections as well. So, I mean, Stephen threw out a lot of jargon there and names and things. I just say, just get yourself a USB mic and start recording. On a smartphone, I've just been using Google Sound Recorder on an Android phone. Very accessible, very good, very easy to use. You just plug a USB mic into the port at the bottom of the phone and you're off. On iPhone, you have voice memos or just press record. There's lots of apps out there. And the quality is surprisingly good, and you can record quite a long time on there. So I would say as long as you get a USB mic, I wouldn't worry about a mixer, an interface. This is something you sort of expand into. It's like any other hobby, if you like. Once you get a taste for it, you start reading into it now I want that and now I want that. So, but to start off with, you can just get yourself a USB mic. It doesn't have to be expensive, and start recording. The other thing I think is essential, though, is to get familiar with some editing software, because that really makes the difference. I know the sort of ethos is content is king. Just record. It doesn't matter if it's not the best quality. And that's true to an extent. But I think, if I'm coughing all the way through it or the doorbell starts going through it, really that doesn't hold people's, the listeners' attention too much. So learning to edit audio, and that can be the most daunting aspect, I think. But honestly, once you start, it's not too bad at all. I would recommend Audacity for Windows. It's a free audio editing software, and that's one I use for DoubleTap. Very, very accessible. But there's also an app called Reaper. Now, that's available for Windows and Mac. It's a little bit more evolved and a bit more mature. And because of that, there's quite a lot of keyboard shortcuts in there. I'm still trying to learn it, but again, totally accessible. So I think the only things you really need to worry about is get yourself a USB mic and start playing with, getting comfortable, just load it up and hit R to start recording in some audio editing software. And you're 90% of the way there.
Now, to expand on that a little bit as well, because you what you're talking about and what you're right to talk about is solo recording. So if you're recording on your own, then that is the way to do it. And I would go a little bit further. I would say you probably don't even need the USB mic now, because the microphone inside your smartphone. Now, if we're talking about iPhones, they are really good in there. They have really good recording. And I was at an event once. What?
If wrong with Android phones, let me just say that, Android users, the Android mics are just as good, Stephen Scott. All right, you Apple fanboy, leave them alone.
No, I'm just, what I'm saying is that I think on the iPhone, there's a particular tool. If you listen, I will tell you there is an incredible tool on there which you could benefit from. and it's through voice memos. And I found it by accident the other day, and it's a setting or a feature called Studio Sound. Now, I recorded something that was not intended to be used in an interview. It was an interview with Jenny Lee Flurry, who's the head of accessibility for Microsoft. She's actually leaving that post now. But in the sort of interview, it was more of a press gathering. And I basically was just holding out my iPhone. I was probably about 3 or 4 feet away from her, holding out my iPhone, recording what she was saying purely for my own notes. It was never intended to be used on broadcast. It could be, but it wasn't intended that for that. And when I came home, I thought, I'm going to play around with this audio and see if there's anything I can do with it, because we use lots of different tools to try and improve audio all the time. And I ran it through this AI cleanup tool that I use from Adobe Podcast, which is very accessible. It can take any audio, frankly, and it can, you know, take a really nasty piece of audio and make it sound good, but it's not perfect, and you have to listen through every single second of it because it can add little AI artifacts. So if someone goes, it can turn that into a, all of a sudden.
To a scream. Yes.
Yeah, and it's a bit weird. So you have to listen through the audio, and again, that's where the editing part comes in. But I also opened the, because I'd recorded in voice memos, I opened it up in voice memos and found this studio sound option. When I double tapped on it, the audio became actually really clear. It got rid of all the background, all the hiss, all the background noise, cleaned it up. I mean, it wasn't perfect, but it was a lot better than it was. And so what it told me was that you can take a basic recording from an iPhone and you can really make it sound nice. So that's an interesting little tool. And I don't know how long that's been in there. Probably fairly recent, I would imagine. But it's a good little tool to use. But that's for solo recording. If you're podcasting, you're probably going to be, unless you're not all podcasts are you know, involving other people, but if it is involving other people and you're not next to each other, because in that case, then you could use voice memos and share a microphone, or you know, you could possibly buy a piece of kit like the Zoom recorder that you could connect to your iPhone or Android phone and record with multiple microphones. That's an option, but that kind of takes you to another level.
Yeah.
If you're recording with someone like Sean and I do, because we record in separate places, right? Sean is in Manchester.
Somebody needs to mute themselves. Star 6, please.
There we go. I don't know if I was coming back at myself there or what. there we go. It's always nice to get feedback. That's what I say. But the thing is that, you know, Sean and I are in different places. Sean's in his shed and I'm not. And so what we do is, in order to connect, we have to use an online platform. Now, we use a platform called Riverside. And the reason we use that, and it's not the most accessible platform in the world, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not. But the reason we use it is because, again, doing the broadcast side of work, we need to be able to record video and audio simultaneously. So we use that platform because we get high-quality local recordings. So instead of us having to record everything here and then try and stitch it together, it does all this in the cloud. It's a very clever product. But a lot of people will use other tools. And blind people, I've got to say, Zoom is a very popular choice. And we've used it many times. And we use it with a couple of enhancements that are all built in. So I would say, I mean, Zoom, first off, allows you to record directly here on the platform. So we are here on Zoom today. This is being recorded. There are some settings you can change which can make it even easier to edit this afterwards. As Sean said, and the perfect example is someone you're interviewing starts coughing and you think, I want to remove that cough. That's irritating because I've been talking over that and the listener will get distracted by it. What I need in order to do that is that audio on a separate track. I need a separate recording of their voice and my voice. I don't want it all just mushed into one recording, as often these platforms will do. So what you can do is in Zoom, you can choose an option to record separate files for each participant. So every single person gets their own track, essentially recorded in the background as you go along. And then when the meeting is finished, when you end the meeting, all those files become available on your computer. So you'll have Stephen, you'll have Sean, you'll have Jerry, you'll have everyone else on this call available as a separate voice. Now, of course, there's a limit to how many people you can have at once being recorded in Zoom. I think the maximum is 10. So, you know, most people are not going to need as many as that. You may have 2 or 3 people on a call and you can get all those files. You can load them all into your Audacity and then they'll show up as 3 separate tracks, all in sync with each other. And then you can silence out the cough on that particular track of that particular guest if you want to. So you get a lot more control. There's another setting, which if you dig around in your audio settings of Zoom, you'll find an option for original sound for musicians. Now, a lot of people look past this because they think, well, I'm not a musician. What do I want this for? But what it does is it enables a higher quality audio stream. So you might be listening to me thinking, this sounds pretty clear, sounds pretty good. That's because I'm using original sound for musicians. I'm not using the traditional, the kind of basic Zoom communication protocol. And the reason for that, the reason I use this is because I get higher quality audio into Zoom that I can record. And so if your guests all do the same, then you're able to get a really high quality recording. I know some people have said, oh, don't use Zoom, the audio quality is not great. Again, with using these tools, with using good equipment to some degree, and that could be a decent headset. It could be, and I recommend these all the time, by the way, if you're on a computer, if you ever pick up a pair of USB-C earphones, and I'm not talking about AirPods that are wireless or any of that kind of stuff. I'm talking about just a pair of USB-C, has to be most of these days, I guess, because so many machines now don't have the headphone ports as they used to. But if you get those with the microphone in, and Apple sell them for like $19, I think, or something like that. And of course, they work on any machine, doesn't matter what you're using, PC or otherwise. You're going to get really high quality audio out of those. The only thing to be aware of is when using them is that you just make sure the microphone isn't rubbing against your shirt, or you get all that all the time, and that can get a little bit annoying. So, you know, you can use really simple tools. You know, a pair of those really cheap earbuds, a Zoom account, you know, using the 40-minute free option or whatever, and, you know, turning on those tools like record separate tracks, turn on original sound, you're going to increase your audio recording capability massively.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a great start for a lot of people if you're getting into the world of podcasting. Sean, your thoughts?
No, absolutely. Zoom is a great entry point, especially, you know, as it's, as you mentioned, with the 40 minutes, anyone can jump on and try, and you can play around. And this is the key thing I always say, is just play around with it. You know, the first time you try it, maybe it won't sound great or whatever, then you need to figure out, you know, where I put the mic to sound better, and play around with those settings with original sound. And you'll be surprised how actually the tools are right there right now for you to try. I want to open it up for questions. I feel like we're talking too much.
Yeah, no, I agree. Stephen is. I agree. Yeah, that's about right. Okay, your questions, folks, go for it. But all at once.
Yes.
Yeah, please.
Silence came over the room.
Jerry, this is Janice. I have a question.
Hey.
Not sure.
So, thanks, guys. A little bit of context. I'm an Android user. And when I give speeches, I have it written out either in notes or a draft email. And I use Select to Speak. And so it plays in my ear through my earbuds. And then I recite it. So, because I'm not a Braille reader and I can't read written text. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I've been asked to send a recording of a speech to somebody. And if I'm just using my Android phone, is there a way for me to listen to it so I can recite it and record it?
Hmm. That's a good question. Because you're, yeah, Sean.
Yeah, sorry. So, you want to listen it use through TalkBack on the phone?
I want to
also
listen to it through Select to Speak. So I'm hearing it in my ear and I want to recite it, but I want to be able to record it. Can I do hear it and record it on my one device?
Yes, absolutely. You should be able to. The audio recording shouldn't have anything, any negative from the Select to Speak. Now, because you're specifically saying this Select to Speak, that's a feature I haven't used very often. I just use the screen readers, you know, in the case of Android TalkBack. But it's basically it uses the same engine. So as long as you can find any, I mentioned Google Sound Recorder before. It's just because that's the latest one I've been using, and that was very accessible. But whatever I'm flicking around with on the screen is not coming through on the recording. Now, again, though, this is plug some headphones with a microphone into the bottom of that, of your phone. And that way it's only hearing your voice and not picking up the speech from the phone through the speaker.
Well, it would anyway, because you're hearing your voice
right,
coming through
yeah.
that, right?
I have the Bose, they're the Sport, so yeah. They're not plugged in, but
they're wirelessly connected, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I would do is I would do a test.
Bluetooth, yeah.
Yeah, what I would do is I would do a test with that. So open up a sound recorder or open up any kind of recording app on your phone. Mm-hmm. Start the recording and then go away from it into the app you use. And then proceed to, you know, do your talk, essentially, mm-hmm. whilst hearing what information you're getting back. And go back to the recording app, stop it, and listen
and see
back.
If it
and
picks
you should
it up.
Only,
yeah.
You should only hear your voice.
Okay. I'll give that a try. Thank you both.
And, we
and well done,
Android
by
people.
The way. That's a real skill. Being able to listen and speak over a screen reader. I can't do it myself.
Well, what I do is I have to slow down the speech rate so that I don't sound like a chipmunk. So, and that gives me a little bit of wiggle room because I don't have a lot, like if people react to what I'm saying, it's like, sorry, I can't pause, got to keep moving. Yeah. You know. Thank
well,
you
well
both.
Done.
No, thank you, Janice. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions? Please feel free to unmute.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to be about podcasting, anything.
Anything at all.
My name is Anthony. Are one of you familiar with Twisted Wave?
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't used this, but I've heard good things. Have you tried it?
Yes.
What's your thoughts?
I found it to be accessible. I still haven't fully figured out how to use it all the way.
Are you using it on the iPhone or on the iPad?
On the iPhone, yeah, it works on the iPhone, iPad, Apple, any Apple device. And it's kind of like a different version of Audacity.
Yeah, that's right. And it is Apple specific in that sense. It is across the different devices. I know they've done a lot of work on Twisted Wave recently as well, because I was reading some interesting updates for it with some cool new features.
So what does it do for anyone who doesn't know? What does it do?
Well, it's almost like an audio recorder, but now with the new updates, you can actually record your screen as well. There is a cost for it. It's $12, but I think it was worth it. I'm still learning how to use it. With the new updates, I can't tell you much about it because I'm still learning.
Yeah. It's interesting.
It's,
there's so many.
It's fully accessible
out there. Yeah, there's so many tools out there, Anthony, that we would love to use. I mean, Reaper, of course, is one we've talked about. And the problem is, I think you get into a way of using something. You get into a habit of using something, and you feel quite comfortable in that usage. So you just tend to stick with it. And I think that's our problem when it comes to Audacity. And also because we're producing a daily show, we don't really have the time to stop and, you know, rethink, okay, let's try this. Although I am trying to convince Sean to do it because there's a big update coming to Audacity and we're rather nervous about what that means, right?
Yes. That's always the way in our world though, isn't it? There's just an update just around the corner that may just make, you know, it harder or even impossible to use an app.
Or
so
even
we'll,
easier.
Yeah, it could be easier. It's very rare though, Stephen, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true.
But we will check that out. That sounds very interesting.
Yes.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right, no problem.
All right, we have somebody that has their hand raised, the cell phone number. If you want to unmute yourself and ask your question, that would be great. *6 to unmute.
Oh, there we go.
There Hello. You go.
Go ahead,
well,
ask
you
your question.
Us. Hello.
Now, I'm going to be honest. We had more communication here with the Artemis 2. So what's going on, guys? Come on.
Dark side of the moon.
Hi. Can I ask why they're figuring out how to...
Of course.
This is Marguerite. Hi, how are you? My question is about the Meta glasses.
Oh. Okay.
What do you think about them? And what do you think about the audio when you're talking to people? I'm finding it challenging. A lot of people can't really hear. I'll have to take them off so that they can hear what I'm saying. So I don't know if there's something I can do to make that better.
That's an interesting issue you bring up because I've heard that before as well. And I've always got an issue with wireless microphones and, you know, especially Bluetooth microphones like are being used in the Meta glasses. But there shouldn't be an issue with them. I mean, as long as you're not losing your Bluetooth connection with other devices, you know, keyboards or audio headphones. And
no.
Yes, so it's specifically just with the Meta glasses, right?
Yeah.
I've heard other people say this. Now, I don't know if there's like a quality control issue. I mean, I would be tempted if you get the chance to even try to get them replaced, you know, send them out and get them replaced and see if that's any better. But before you go down that route, there is a setting in the Meta AI app. If you go to your device settings, now you're going to ask me where it is, and the AI app changes so often, I've totally forgotten where it is. But somewhere in there, there is a for troubleshooting microphones, and there's just a tick box. And if you're having issues, it says tick this tick box and it will try to improve the microphone.
Okay.
So that is in there somewhere. So, you know, where all the, you know, updates and connected apps and accessibility is in there somewhere is a tick box for microphone specifically. I'm not sure how effective it is, but that's the only thing you can try. Other than that, there's nothing you're doing wrong yourself, you know, and there's no setting you're missing to make the mic work better. So, try that first. And if not, obviously, you know, as ever, do a factory reset on the glasses and repair them and see if that helps. But if not, I would be thinking about, is there a fault with these actual glasses?
There's no fault. Everything we're doing is perfectly fine. These are awful with the microphone sometimes. I am with you on this. I have had this issue so many times.
Dictation is a nightmare. Well, how awful is awful, Stephen Scott?
Dictation, I'm telling you, the dictation is terrible. Trying to use Siri is awful. Mind you, Siri is totally terrible anyway. But, you know, there are times when I am yelling at them. H-E-Y Meta! H-E-Y Meta! Nothing, not responding at all. So I don't know. The only thing I might suggest, I don't know if you have this problem, but I have certainly had issues. I live in Scotland, so if it's not raining, it will be in the next... Oh, wait a minute, it's already raining. So it's raining a lot, and that causes a problem, I think, sometimes with the microphones. We've been caught, and I've been caught in a number of bad weather events during my guide dog training earlier in the year. And so, you know, for that reason, I think they may be a little bit water damaged. I don't know. And that could be part of it. But they are built for this, so that doesn't feel right, but okay. So, you know, I absolutely recognize this as a problem. I didn't know there was a setting in there, Sean. It seems odd to me that, you know, make the microphones better would be turned off as a default. But
yeah, and okay. I'm not entirely sure what it does. If it does, it's, you know, does it just turn them up? Because it does say only use this if you're experiencing problems with the microphone. So it may just increase the gain. And if you're not having problems, that may cause an issue of not being able to be understood too loud in that case. But it's definitely worth a try in this case.
Just quickly want to answer your other question about the Meta glasses generally and our thoughts on them. I think they're fantastic. I really do. And I think that what I'll say is, again, everything's moving so quickly. So if you had asked me this question a month ago, I'd have said, yeah, they're great, but don't expect too much from the AI. Now, a month later, have you heard of Orion? And things have just moved on, right? Because we have this new app called Orion. Well, I say new app. The app itself has been around for a while. The spelling of that is OORION. OORION.
Okay.
And what it lets you do, and Sean's been trialing it more than I have recently, because I'm, as I say, having some audio issues with my glasses. But ultimately, it's a way of scanning for nearby objects. And so if you put your mug down or you know, drop your keys on the floor, or in my case, the AirPods fall to the floor and fly out into the distance and can't find them again, I can actually ask my glasses now to say, find my AirPods or find my keys. And what it will do is it will begin the process of telling me to scan my head left to right. And then if it locks onto them, it will start this beep, 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 and start locating me, you know, directionally to where they are. It's an incredible tool. And Sean, I know you've been very impressed by it, not just for indoor use.
No, I've been using it outside. So another use case is as soon as I step out of my front door when I'm walking the dog in the morning, I say, Orion, let me know if there's any obstacles in my path. And then as I'm walking down the sidewalk, it will say, there's a car directly in front of you parked on the sidewalk. You know, you need to maneuver around it, or there's a trash can in the way. It's just so useful. And like Stephen said, before a month ago, I didn't use the AI on the glasses. You know, everyone was talking about the AI. I was talking about using Be My Eyes and making video calls to friends and family to get assistance. That's what they're amazing for. But now, just with the release of all these third-party apps, which are coming very, very soon, and Orion is the first of many, AI is really useful. I turn it on every morning now. And when I was out in the park, I simply said, I'm looking for a bench. And like Stephen just explained there, it says, I can't see a bench in front of you yet. Keep moving around and I'll let you know. And then beep, 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 I found one. It tracks you in. I mean, it is a game changer, and we're going to get more and more of these options. So I say the Meta glasses are actually one of those, you know, one of those tech tools that, yeah, for lots of people, they are essential. Of course, not everyone's, you know, if you're hard of hearing, if you're deaf, they don't work, you know, they don't connect directly to hearing aids right at the moment. So there are issues. They're not right for everyone, but in general, they're great.
And also, can I just say as well, they're not great for reading text necessarily, especially OCR level text.
No.
You know, they can certainly scan and read a document and summarize it to some degree. They're pretty good at that. So, for example, if I hold up a doctor's letter and say, when is my doctor's appointment? It will be able to give me that information. So that's good. But I think the camera in the glasses isn't quite ready for that kind of level of text reading top to bottom as we would perhaps expect. Of course, some people prefer the AI approach, but you know, if you want the true privacy and you just want it to read the letter top to bottom, then you're not going to get that perfectly at the moment. It can do it, but it's not
yet. But yeah. I mean, seeing AI is coming to the Meta glasses soon.
Yeah.
And maybe that will do it in a different way and be better. We don't know yet.
Yeah. Iris coming as well. Be My Eyes is already there. So, you know, there's lots of ways you can use tools that we use every day on our smartphones through the glasses, and this will only increase over time. And of course, this year, we're likely to see Google drop their new glasses, and who knows what that means. So the Android people are going to be very happy.
Please don't call them the Android people.
Yeah, I like calling them the Android people. They're my friends, the Android people.
So where do you get the best training or information about how to use the glasses most effectively?
Well, I'll give you a good piece of advice for anyone in the States, and that is to contact HumanWear. Because HumanWear are actually connected. They're part of the same company behind the glasses themselves, in particular the Ray-Ban glasses, because they're all part of the same family. So Meta, or I should say HumanWear, actually sell the Meta glasses in the US. I believe that's still to be true. And they are also able to offer support as well. Now, I am putting my head above the parapet with that one, because I have been told by HumanWear, don't publicize that too widely because the phone will be off the hook. So, you know, it's up to you if you decide to call them.
For that.
Nothing to do with it. But, you know, I would give them a call because they have people there who are using them and they certainly know how to use them. So for support, that might not be a bad place to start.
Thank you for that.
No problem.
Thank you.
Good. People with questions, Diane, and phone number ending in 946.
Well, thank you.
Hi.
You, Tiff, and you're doing a great job, Tiff. Thank you.
Hey, guys. This is Diane Ducharme from Blind Shell. Welcome to Maryland.
Oh, hey. It's lovely to be here.
Hey,
thank you.
Hey. Marguerite, I love Marguerite. She's so sweet. I just want to thank you guys for your honesty about your blindness, because you guys make it look so easy. And I would be like, oh man, you know, they never have issues, or, you know, they never have any kind of concerns, and they get to try all this stuff and they're like way ahead of all us other blind people. So I really appreciate your honesty about, yeah.
Thank you.
Stuff doesn't work.
Yeah, no, I think it's important. And you know what? I think it's funny. When we start, the show's changed. I think Stephen would agree. It's changed. You know, when we first started, it's all about, okay, let's do a step-by-step guide of how to use this app. Let's do a review of that. And as it's gone on, there's so many other podcasts out there now that do a great job of that. And I feel we've changed. We've become more conversational. And we've got so much interaction. Our inbox is absolutely amazing. And I think that started when we started to be more honest. You know what? When I go out, I'm anxious about this, and not being ashamed or feeling, you know, some way about it. Say, Yeah, I went out the other day and I got, you know, lost. I lost my orientation and I started to panic. And just being honest about that, I think, helps a lot. And this is why we say it's a tech show, honestly, because it has changed. And we're talking about, you know, we've both lost a lot of vision over the time of Double Tap, and our opinions have changed and our experiences have changed. And I think if you can reach someone and say, you know what, the way you're feeling about, do I really want to go out today? And I'm going through it in my head over and over, then they'll know, yeah, well, I'm not failing at this. Because we're all feeling the same, right? No one's super blind is a term that came up on the show rather controversially. But
I didn't see it.
It was Stephen Scott that came up with it. But, you know, not everyone can use echolocation and everyone can go out and feel absolutely fine with it. Lots of us struggle every day and some days we don't. But I think just talking about it really helps.
Yeah, and I appreciate what you said, because I did the same thing. I played the game. Now, if I could see that sign, I'm not blind, and then I can't see that sign anymore. Okay, well, if I could see that sign, then I'm not blind anymore. And then suddenly it's like, I can't see so crap. True. So it's time to whip out the cane and just deal with it.
It's
yeah,
hard, though,
we all get to that stage, but it's hard. Yeah. It's not easy.
It is hard, and it's hard to... especially for those of us who are coming through this process of losing vision through time, it's really tough because you're always trying to justify it to other people and also yourself. And sometimes you don't even know if you need to justify it, but you do it anyway. And so it just goes on and on. And yeah, it is tough. It really is. But Diana, I appreciate that you enjoy that part of what we do.
Sure.
I think it's important. And it's lovely to have you. I remember we had you on the show. I was a while ago, but
it was years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been a star on the show. Yeah. On our Walk of Fame.
And nobody is an expert when it comes to technology, by the way. We all learn from each other. I mm-hmm. honestly really mean that. Every email I get, I learn something. So anyone who says, you know, I know everything about it, they don't. There's no such thing as a silly question is a bit of a cliche, but it's so true.
Yeah, absolutely. Diane, thank you. I want to bring in our caller. I feel like I'm on the radio again. Our caller ending in 946. Hello to you.
Okay, we have someone with phone number ending in 946 who has a question, and we have a couple of other people who have raised their hands as well.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Go ahead with your question.
Is Meta coming out with a 3? Meta glasses coming out with a 3?
That's a great question.
Stephen Scott, you've got the inside track. Aren't they coming out with new glasses?
Here is my opinion purely on this. Looking at the cadence of this, I might say not this year, next, because they didn't bring out a new version the year before last. They did last year. I think, though, things are moving very quickly, and if Google are coming along with new hardware this year, and then potentially Apple might be next year with a pair of glasses, that's the rumor mill anyway. It might not be unusual to see a new pair develop this year. We will know around September. September, roughly 19th, not guaranteed, but usually around that date is what's called Meta Connect. And that's their big event they do every year, where all us geeks get very excited about what they're going to show off. Now, I have to say, most years I couldn't give a damn what was on Meta Connect because it was all about VR, virtual reality, and we couldn't care less. Now, we're all in. We're all sitting down with popcorn listening to the event. So, I'm hopeful. I don't know for certain, but I am hopeful there will be a third generation because the speed of development with AI is such that this is maybe something they want to do. They are clearly seeing value in these products in the sense of they're seeing people buying them. And it's not just the blind community. They're mainstream and they're popular. So it wouldn't be a huge surprise to see a new one come along. So don't hold me to it.
That's the key point for me, though. The mainstream appeal of these is what's driving their all-in approach. We've just seen two new models released, the Blazer and the Scribe, with Meta power, Meta software behind it. And they're aimed at prescription. So everyday glasses users, they're being sold through opticians, ophthalmologists, certain, you know, the big chain ones. And they're lighter, they're more comfortable to wear than just the sunglasses. So they're aiming those at everyday, all day use. So I think that's what they're going for, just bringing more partners on and trying to hit more, a bigger target, really, more people.
That may be where I got the idea of a third generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about the Blazer and the Scribes recently.
They're definitely not third gen, though. I would certainly say that. I mean, they are just an extension of the existing range. So the same hardware in there. There's a couple of new features, but nothing really that sets the Heather on fire. What I will say, though, is if you do buy the Gen 2s, is that a Scottish phrase?
Is that a Scottish thing? The Heather on fire? Okay.
I thought, bring a bit of Scotland to Maryland.
It was
okay?
Beautiful. I loved it. Thank you. Carry on. Sorry, I interrupted.
But now I've completely lost my train of thought, so we'll move on. Thank you for your question, though. Happens all the time because of him. Who else had their hand up there?
Ring 1 and then Debbie.
Hi, can you hear me now?
I can. Who's that? Is that Debbie?
No, that's Donna.
I'm Donna. Hi. Donna.
Hello, Donna. Nice to meet you.
Glad to meet you, too. I came in a little late to the meeting. You were like 10 minutes in. You may have said this. You can let me know, regardless, hopefully. Is there a way that your podcasts, we can just listen to your podcasts without bringing in the video so that we have a smaller footprint, if we want to save a podcast, it isn't going to take up all that video and everything.
Yes, we do provide an audio podcast as well as the video one on YouTube. So whatever your favorite podcast app is, you can download it from there. Absolutely. And that is just the audio only. Is that on the website, Stephen? Is there a link to? There should be.
Some of us are totals. We don't care.
We don't care. No, I'm with you. I don't care
about the video at all. And we just want to save the bandwidth.
You absolutely can do that as well. If you go to our website, we do have the podcast available on the website as well. So you can go to doubletaponair.com. And you can search for podcast or find the podcast link, and you can go straight to the podcast and get it from there. You can listen to it there. I believe you can download it, although I'm not entirely certain of that, but I think you can. Or you can download it or listen to it or subscribe to it in whatever podcast app of choice or device you use. So,
or you can use the Victor Reader Stream.
Victor Reader. Right. You can get more on next week.
Just look for Double Tap.
Sure. And how often do you do your podcast? Just as needed when you feel like it?
Oh,
once
I wish.
Once a week, once a month, once a day.
I'm going to shock you here, Donna. I'm going to shock you. You ready for this?
Yeah.
We do it daily, every single day of the week.
For like a half hour or an hour?
It's an hour long. It's every day. So I apologize in advance for taking over your life.
Well, I'll pick and choose which ones I want to. If we go to a podcast list, it'll give a little tiny description, right, of each one, know which one we want. I mean, some we'd be more interested than others, probably,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why we do it that way. So we can try and talk about as much as possible, but you get the choice to choose what you want. So, yeah, have at it, enjoy it, and welcome to the Double Tap family.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think Debbie was next.
Debbie is next.
Okay. I'm finding that a lot of these, I'm old, but I'm finding that a lot of these devices, I'm just not, first of all, I have found those people that I can't use a touchscreen. I just can't figure the dumb thing out. So I'm one of the blind shell users with Diane, and I appreciate the work she's been doing. I feel very much left out, and I got only one working ear, so that's for use when I'm walking down the street. That's the one that's got to do something. I can't have something yammering in the other one. Mm-hmm. So I'm finding that a lot of this technology is based on, and I mean, I know there's ways to access smartphones by other means, but I'm finding that a lot of it is based on audio, and I don't do audio very well. I do it as little as I can. And so I am finding that Braille is, it's difficult to walk down the street reading Braille, but you can do it. And if it's not raining too hard. And I'm finding that a lot of this, and yes, I can read Braille with one hand and use a cane with the other. I can manage that. sometimes. So I just don't, you know, how does a person who is not a good audio user, what, I mean, the Meta glasses to me don't seem very useful. So what kind of
No.
technology is there for people who are not real good audio users?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because the world is kind of moving towards this smartphone touchscreen obsessed world, and that's because the technology that's driving everything is not, it's not based on what blind people need. It's based on what the general public want, and or at least are told we want. So you know, touchscreens is it. I mean, there is a growing sense that we're moving towards a new world of voice-based interfaces. So you would be able to talk to a device and have it respond to you. And I think that's something we may see down the line potentially. I mean, we're starting to see it in very small ways. There are, of course, many other ways to use a smartphone. You could use with a keyboard at home, that kind of thing, if it's easier, rather than using the touch screen. I mean, I, for example, don't type on my iPhone. I use a keyboard for that because I find it really difficult. I also have issues with my hands as well through a tremor that I have in my left hand. So typing is very difficult. And even sometimes using the phone generally is difficult. So I'm coming up against this challenge myself. And it hits you, as I'm sure it does you as well, Debbie, that, you know, the technology is just not built for that. It's not built to be used. You know, if you can't use it that traditional way, how do you do it? So I absolutely hear you. I think the problem we have is that this stuff is kind of driven this way. I mean, the benefit we have is that devices like BlindShell exist, and that not only is it, you know, a feature phone, it has AI and functionalities in it that you will be able to access. And Diane might want to tell us today about the BlindShell 4. Who knows? Or not, as the case may be. But you know, I imagine there'll be work going on in the background to create, you know, new versions of that which will incorporate a lot of that technology. And that's what's important. You know, I it's funny, I have such a journey when it comes to specialist tech versus mainstream tech. I built the show out of the idea that we need to talk about mainstream technology first because there's a cost barrier to specialist technology. But as I've lost more vision, you know, I would probably never have used a Victor Reader Stream back in my 20s and 30s. Even though it might have been really useful to me, I wouldn't have used it. I would have thought, oh, I can get my iPhone to do this. Whereas now, I'm thinking, I love the physical buttons. I love knowing where things are. I love being able to use this device. It's a firmer device to use, even just physically easier. I mean, has anyone tried holding an iPhone for a period of time? Unless you have a case on it, they're quite difficult to manage, and especially if you have any physical issues as well. So I hear you. I don't have the answer you're looking for, I'm afraid, but you know, I hear you, and you know, I think watch this space because in the next couple of years, we're going to start to see more technology come along, which might solve some of your problems.
Yeah, I think you've covered everything there. There seems to be two different aspects here of, you know, interfacing with an iPhone and a touchscreen, I should say. And yeah, there isn't an easy answer to that. I'm thinking, what was that
Well,
tiny portable keyboard, Stephen? But
that
even that had problems.
excuse me, this is Tiffany. I just wanted to piggyback off of what you guys were saying. The Habbl is a small Bluetooth keyboard where you can operate your phone with one touch navigation. I
Yes.
just presented for this technology user group on the Habbl device last month. So, Debbie, that may be helpful to you. And it would eliminate you having to use the gestures to operate the iPhone.
And also on top of that, Debbie, you'll be able to, because you know Braille, you'll be able to start typing in there as well, which is one of the benefits. Even people who though don't use Braille have said that they really enjoy using the Habbl because they can use it to learn how to navigate their phone first, and you can enable dictation and things like that with that device as well. And all of this can be done in a very small smartphone-sized device that you essentially hold up to you.
If somebody else wants to speak and Jerry tells me you shut up, I will. But the other
Wow, I'm glad I had
issue
that power.
the issue is though I think is connect first of all, you got to connect it. And now I am really disappointed that the certain lady A, now I have to have somebody who has a smartphone to hook it up for me. I can't even do it from my computer. And so oh, it's wonderful. You can talk to your device, but somebody's got to hook it up and you hand over your privacy to that person, and I'm worried more worried about that person's privacy than about mine. How Amazon is invasive, but the scene of see how long it takes to disappear for Jerry to disappear from the air. But anyhow, but you know, the problem is that often setting up and connecting it to, you got to connect it the first time to something, and maybe the 50th time if it keeps disconnecting. And you know, yeah, I can use a keyboard maybe if it connects first and stays connected, but you know, you still usually need some assistance in setting this stuff up, even if it does at some point work. You know, I had to reset my Lady A because I had to change my Wi-Fi because certain things. So those things, it can maybe every day, but still somebody's managing your life for you, which is not how we want to do things.
No, and I think, Debbie, the important thing to say here, and you know, I'm not talking specifically to you about this because I don't know your circumstance, but you know, I know sometimes there's a fear around the touch screen as well, and the sense of I just cannot get to grips with this. I'm not going to get to grips with it. It's not going to work for me. And I hear that a lot from people. And I remember talking to someone who had this exact experience, and he decided one day to buy an iPhone. Everyone's talking about them, so he decided to buy one. And he said, I just had to grin and bear it for a while because it does take a long time to get to grips with. But once he got the first app under his belt, once he figured out how to do the basics, like make a call, it started to resonate with them to some degree. Now, of course, that may not be the case with you, but there are certainly people who I think sometimes there's a fear inbuilt and it's not because necessarily there's a fear of the interface or any of that. It's that there's, and I have felt this so many times. I've talked about this on the show. It always feels like everyone else is jumping so far ahead of you all the time, and you want to be part of it. You want to do the same things, but you just feel like I can't even get across the door here of this. And you know, I'm struggling here. And so, you know, I have had to, you know, sort of do that same thing. I remember when I first turned on voiceover, all I wanted to do was chuck my phone out the window every 5 minutes because I couldn't get to grips with this at all. Everything felt slow. You know, I was used to working at a particular speed. I couldn't get to that speed anymore. And you know, a friend of mine said to me, just slow down. You got to slow down. You got to, you know, essentially you have to slow down to start speeding up again. And that was the best advice I got. I'm not saying it's perfect for everybody, just my experience.
And
But
thank you, Stephen, for taking my customers away.
well, I am not intending to do that at
The Blind
all.
Show Classic is great, by the
I
way.
love the
It's
Blind Show people.
That's very good. Yes, the four is even better when that
Oh,
comes
you
out.
guys are going to get me in some trouble.
I tell you, that's our job here. Listen, I'm conscious of time, so Jerry, I don't know if you
Yes,
want
it
to.
is past the top of the hour, and I
Yeah.
know Stephen and Sean are very, very busy, and we do appreciate them coming out today. So I think we will let them go on their merry way, and we do appreciate you guys coming out and educating us, and we hope that you guys will come back out again sometime.
Oh, we had a great time, didn't
That'd
we?
be great.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. Thank you. As I said at the top there, it's a privilege to be invited, and we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank
Yeah,
you
listen,
all.
tell 10 of your friends to tell 10 of their friends. Double Tap exists. Come and join the
Yeah,
party.
listen
It
to it every
affects you
day. You'll
sometimes.
learn a lot. You will learn a
You'll learn,
lot.
no, maybe not a lot, but you'll learn something. But
Yeah,
we appreciate
well.
you. We appreciate you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Goodbye.
Trust a home for every mind. teachers and the friends, to the laughter in our meetings, and the help that never ends. We celebrate the milestones and all that's still to come. For 19 years we've lived reaching skies.